Welcome to the latest edition of the New York Jazz Workshop podcast. I'm your host, CJ Shern. The topic of this episode, where is jazz today? There are a lot of different opinions on where jazz is now, but it is in a healthier and more varied place than it's ever been. On one level, the current era is almost a throwback to the 70s where jazz was melding with just about any style. Funk, world music, European folk, Indian classical, and progressive rock. But there are things going on musically today that were not possible during the decades of the 40s, 50s, or 60s. In particular, with artists like Robert Glasper, James Francis, Mark Juliana, Chris Dave, Tana Alexa, Antonio Sanchez, and veterans like Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock, jazz is going in exciting places beyond just the straight ahead. While jazz has always used pop songs or show tunes as a base, in terms of the current era of jazz in a sense, we can see a harbinger of things to come in the late 1960s. For example, the direction of jazz blending pop elements that appealed to the general public was foreshadowed when Wes Montgomery recorded his final three albums that were his most successful, Road Song, A Day in the Life, and Down Here on the Ground, for Creed Taylor's fledgling CTI imprint under A&M that would become independent in 1970. Montgomery had recorded albums like Bumpin' for Verve. There was a precedent, but his A&M and CTI recordings created a whole new blueprint. CTI recordings blended top-flight musicians like Freddie Hubbard, Stanley Turrentine, and George Benson with all-star rhythm sections playing originals, pop and soul tunes enhanced by the addition of string sections arranged by Don Sobeski, Bob James, or David Matthews. In 1978, producers Dave Grusin and Larry Rosen founded GRP Records, and they created a slick LA-based sound that married some of the important elements of jazz, like swing and improvisation, with Latin, funk, and rock rhythms. Grusin and Rosen had done production work outside of their own company, producing records on Blue Note from artists like Earl Klugh and Noel Pointer and Patty Austin on CTI. But when they became a subsidiary of Arista, albums from their roster, such as those of keyboardist Bernard Wright and trumpeter Tom Brown, contained all sorts of different tunes, like straight ahead, funk, and early hip-hop. The issue this presented was that for those in the marketing side of the record industry, they categorized the music, thus limiting the potential. In 1969, with Bitches Brew, Miles Davis was at the forefront of combining rock, funk, and jazz, and the album broke all templates of what was considered acceptable commercially. GRP became an independent label in 1982, and shaped by the taste of listeners, they became a force in what was considered the eventual smooth jazz movement. In audiophile realms, the label was groundbreaking in its use of digital recording. The reason why explaining this background is so important is because for those investigating the rich history of jazz, those kind of precedents are directly related to where jazz artists are now. Every type of jazz, from New Orleans style to avant-garde, is still played around the world, but there are fascinating new things occurring that are too numerous to mention in a brief podcast. The fact that many jazz musicians who grew up in the late 80s and the 90s are incorporating what they grew up listening to is so encouraging and further proof jazz doesn't stand still. For example, Robert Glasper and Ben Williams including Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana on their respective albums shows how vital it is that this generation of jazzers include the sounds that influence them. Hip-hop is a big component as well, with drummers like Chris Dave and Mark Juliana moving beyond the innovations of Elvin Jones, Art Blakey, and Tony Williams by playing acoustic drums in the manner of electronic drums. Tana Alexa, Tia Fuller, and Camille Thurman are inspiring women, with Tana Alexa's forthcoming album promising to be a powerful exposition on the history and current issues facing women in contemporary society. Jazz is reflecting a trend back towards the social and political spectrum of which it is inextricably linked, whereas in the 80s and 90s, the Young Lion movement was more centered on a projected label image of an artist. Today, young jazz musicians are making profound statements. On trumpeter Ambrose Akinmusere's new recording, Origami Harvest, He continues his detailed investigation of social issues by creating a balance between string quartet, contemporary classical writing, hip-hop, and stretches of improvisation. The track Free, White, and 21 is one of the most powerful, as he continues to investigate a theme on previous albums of mentioning the names of African Americans unjustly killed by police and gun violence. Akin Musari's use of a voice screaming the antebellum hymn, Blood-Stained Flag, is at once absurd, but also quite persuasive, because it shouts of a much greater systemic issue lurking underneath. Terrence Blanchard's recent live with his group, The E-Collective, tackles some of these same issues related to gun violence. Remember that the New York Jazz Workshop podcast is just a small part of what the school does to increase the scope of jazz education, not only in the greater New York area, but internationally as well. Courses such as Modern Big Band taught by Sebastian Noel, Jazz of the 1960s taught by Dave Ambrosio, or the Funk Fusion Workshop taught by Andrea Veneziani can help deepen the understanding of a few of the things discussed in this podcast. For the New York Jazz Workshop podcast, I'm CJ Shern. Peace, love, groove, and keep swinging, everybody.